U.S., Iranian, and militia attacks in Iraq have disrupted the recent sense of calm and a newfound upswing in economic activity there from energy, commercial, and housing projects. In particular, the U.S. launching of the Iran war hit close to home for a country that was invaded in 2003. That's what one political analyst told Middle East reporter Taylor Luck for his story today about rising concerns that Iraq is being dragged into regional war. Meanwhile, every conflict has domestic consequences as well. Linda Feldman reports from Washington on views about the war from President Donald Trump's base. It's Friday, March 20th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Audrey Thiebert. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Canada is looking for a way to help end the war in Iran. Its foreign minister, Anita Anand, met in London with officials from the G7 and the Middle East. Ms. Anand told The Guardian newspaper she wrote a document of principles intended to de-escalate the conflict, save civilian lives, and limit the impact on the local economy. She said Canada will not participate in the U.S.-Israeli military campaign against Iran. She also condemned Iran's retaliatory attacks against its neighbors. Nigeria's president made a state visit to the United Kingdom. It's the first for Nigeria in 4 decades. At a banquet feting President Bola Tinubu and other Nigerian notables Wednesday evening, King Charles hailed the two countries' relationship as a partnership of equals. The visit comes as the UK promises to move from donor to investor in Africa, and Nigeria, the continent's largest oil producer, seeks foreign partners to help develop that industry. Also, a research team used AI to decode the rules of an ancient board game. The work gives new insight into life in the early centuries AD. Scholars directed a proprietary artificial intelligence tool to sift through a database of ancient game rules to decipher crisscrossed etches on a limestone object found in what is now the Netherlands. The result, published in the journal Antiquity, is a blocking game, likely played with circular stones at the later end of the Roman Empire. Researchers note that while AI might unlock long-lost rules, humans are still better at gaming. People, they wrote, also play for fun. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. After decades of conflict, Iraqis have enjoyed increased political stability and a promising future, even embracing a unified national identity. But attacks by Iran, the United States, and homegrown militias are tugging at the divides that held Iraq back. Taylor Luck reports from Amman, Jordan for The Monitor. Polls show that President Donald Trump's war against Iran has strong support among self-identified MAGA voters, despite strident criticism from some conservative commentators. How long the president can maintain that support as war costs rise and gas prices mount at home is unclear. Linda Feldman reports from Washington for The Monitor. In the asymmetric Iran war, victory looks different for each side. The U.S. and Israel must decisively win or convincingly claim they have, while the Iranian regime only has to survive. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Federal judges in the United States traditionally express their views only through their written opinions. That stance has shifted recently amid physical threats and criticism by public officials, including the president. Henry Gass reports for The Monitor. The promise of new government UFO records and films that explore out-of-this-world connections are renewing attention on the question of whether humankind is truly alone in the universe. Stephen Humphreys reports for The Monitor. Haiti is in a security and humanitarian tailspin, with millions of people internally displaced. The experience of a Port-au-Prince artist collective shows just how disrupted life has become and the power of perseverance. Contributor Linnea Ferm reports from Port-au-Prince, Haiti for The Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on heading towards balanced immigration enforcement. This week, as a U.S. Senate committee held confirmation hearings and advanced the nomination of a new head of the Department of Homeland Security, the department itself entered month two of a partial shutdown and funding freeze. This juxtaposition highlights what Americans repeatedly say are among the country's top problems: poor government leadership and the issues surrounding immigration. Currently, congressional Democrats refuse to approve full DHS funding unless their Republican peers and the White House agree to key changes in immigrant detention and deportation tactics. These include banning face coverings for agents and requiring body cameras and judicial warrants to enter private property. Both sides blame each other for the impasse and its impact on DHS services such as airport security and emergency management. However, among voters, cross-partisan views on immigration issues may be starting to overlap and could help point elected representatives toward workable compromises, if not consensus. Even as around 60% of Americans feel that recent immigration enforcement tactics have gone too far, they hold nuanced views on upholding immigration laws alongside compassion. A significant portion wants to ensure due process for migrants that respects their humanity. Polls show that voters across political parties support deporting immigrants who have committed a serious crime. About 56% of Republicans say they want all unauthorized immigrants deported, but only 8% of Democrats want that. A much larger share of Democrats and independent voters prefer not to deport undocumented immigrants who have lived in the United States for years, arrived as a child, or committed a minor infraction. These views are reflected in a draft immigration reform bill in Congress, the Dignity Act of 2025. To date, the proposal has bipartisan support from 19 House Republicans and 20 Democrats and from 75 groups representing business, religious, and community organizations. The Dignity Act would not offer citizenship to the estimated 14 million immigrants living in the U.S. illegally, but it would open pathways to legal residency over a period of several years and after payment of penalties, and streamline asylum and other processes. At his Wednesday hearing to be DHS chief, Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen stated he would revoke the policy allowing federal immigration officers to enter private property without a judicial warrant. He also said one of his aims was that we're not in the lead news story every day, as was the case under his predecessor, Kristi Noem. Targeted immigration actions that operate within legal and policy bounds can help allay Americans' concerns about overly aggressive enforcement. As a group of faith leaders told listeners in Richmond, Virginia, in late February, we must be able to uphold the law while refusing to dehumanize those who live under its penalties. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how Christ guides us beyond troubling concerns to healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.